Now entering the DGDC.
You ready for a deep dive?
And Jordan did most of the crap.
Can't believe I said that.
I've been doing this in 2008, so what the fuck do I know?
Drawing hands is my kryptonite. This
could never happen. Start loading up elbow logos.
Yeah, no, for the show.
Welcome to the DGDC, a united team of design professionals, creatively bound to bring unique inspiration and a common perspectives. You can email us listener questions or topic ideas to hello@dgdcpod.com or check out our website, dgdcpod.com. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram or Twitter at dgdcpod. Plus now you can join in on the conversation. We have a Facebook group. Just pop onto our website and hit the community tab at the top. Now, on with the show. All right, guys, it is that time of the year. That was a fast year. And we are back with our, this is our one of our best traditions, I would say, the holiday gift guide. Or wish list, or whatever we want to call it, right?
Yeah, this is. I'm excited to be part
this
of it.
First
I've listened
one,
to the last few. Exactly, man.
I say gift guide, but wish list is just the same. Wish list. I like wish list.
Yeah, like I have one on here that I don't have yet, but I am getting. It's like my actual potential.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's more real time. You should be able to speak to some of these and you know, give it a full on proof review. I like that.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I think I own one of these, which is I'm excited to talk about. I think you as well, Mikkel?
I do own one.
See, look at that. It worked
and,
out perfectly.
But usually they're goals. They're always goals. But I can finally this year speak to actually having one.
Good. Awesome. We also should say we made a special arrangement today. We were all set to record much earlier in the day, and then we thought – what about 4 o'clock? Because guess what we can all do? We can crack open a cocktail and enjoy our first drinking session together.
Appreciate the Friday properly.
This is exactly. No diss on Wes, but I do love that the three of us are beer drinkers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I really appreciate that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I could never really have that discussion with Wes, and it's okay. It's okay.
You brought up IPAs for years. I always remember.
In fact, Jason actually doesn't love that I'm more of that man in the house. He won't touch a beer. He doesn't like beer. He's the vodka man. So anybody that doesn't, I mean, I don't know. I don't really get
it. I think it is that acquired taste. All different
it
forms
is.
Of alcohol.
But did it come early in life for you too?
What was the first drink I've ever really got into? But then
that, like the hoppy stuff, would
no,
you say?
No, that didn't happen until probably a good 7 or 8 years ago when it really became trendy. And I'll never forget the first one I ever had. It was in Vegas. And
was it?
And I remember the bartender explained it so well that I was like, that sounds delicious.
That's
and
neat.
It was. So
yeah,
there goes, take all my money.
how long ago for you, Jordan?
It was earlier than maybe a lot, but not because like I liked it. It's just because like the older people that were like drinking and were cooler. And so I was like, I'll take a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
Oh,
there's
yes.
a mood.
And
to
I fucking
it.
Hated it for like a year. But then I just became like, I love everything. Like, and now I'm totally into hops. This was like maybe 10 years ago. But at the time,
great?
Like, I was like, man, I just want something like a we have here a Great White, which is like a Belgian orange wit, right? Just a cheap, shitty. Orange beer, and that was like my intro to beer. And then everyone's drinking like pale ales and IPAs.
Yeah, remember the summer?
And I faked it until I made it.
I remember going to Leavenworth and drinking a shit ton of just the Hefs, and now I won't even touch them. They make me feel bloated. I can't drink as much. I don't want to have anything to do with them anymore.
Yeah, all I taste is the banana.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? It's crazy.
I can't do like the bubblegum banana stuff. Like
even a Blue Moon. I don't want to drink that anymore.
No,
it's weird.
But you got to give them you got to give those first few ones props back in the day when like a rolling rock was considered, you know, like almost craft.
You know what though?
Day.
If I'm weeding or if I'm hot and I'm out in the sun, I'll divert to that or pick up. It's the same as picking up a Kona or a Pacifico.
Yeah, there's a time and place, right? Like if I'm going to go camping, I'm like, well, I need more than 12 beers. I at least need like a 30 pack. Well, craft beer doesn't even come in 30 packs anymore. So you know, you just get them to have them. But yeah.
Oh, with food though, isn't it nice to know what you like with food and what beer? Oh, it's just – and pair,
that
like,
is the best. And this I'm missing that. This is all indicative of being older, you guys, the conversation we're having right now.
It's but you're doing it for taste now, right? You're doing it for taste, not for – because I remember drinking beer and going like, I hate it, but that's all everybody was drinking, right? And you're like – it's an acquired taste. You love it more. What? But even though we're – I know you're not having a beer right now, but what are you drinking, Mikkel?
So, truth be told, Jason made me a Manhattan, and then he also poured me the double IPA.
Oh my God!
So that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. And these are both from High West. These glasses, and they're fabulous. They're so thick. But yeah, he did shake a Manhattan, and he did shake up himself a Manhattan too because it's Friday. And then he said, "I think I'm going to go in the garage and work out." I was just telling Nick that. I'm like, "No, you're not." Let's be honest here.
That's a wonderful combo: the Manhattan, and then having a sip or two of the beer as well.
Well, see, like that's the fun part, like, you know, having someone who's into making cocktails because it's fun, right? Like,
it's fun.
I love a cocktail too, but. You know, it can be something just like, I got to go make it. Like, sometimes it's just easier to pull up a beer, right?
Yeah.
But it's nice when someone's like, let me whip you up something great. Like,
Has anybody seen or tried? I have a friend that bought that machine that's it's made by Keurig, but it's like the Bartini thing or whatever it's called. Have you seen that?
Oh, I've heard of that. No, I haven't.
I'm a little afraid of that. That's just like.
Yeah, I didn't know about that one.
Just learn some skills, man. Buy a book.
Yeah.
It's not that hard. What are you drinking, Jordan?
Oh, I am drinking this barrel-aged Imperial Stout. It's called, well, you can't see it because of my back.
There it is.
It's called the Stumbler, rightly named. It's 12.5%. So, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see how this goes.
I love it, dude.
What is a double IPA typically? Is that 9?
Double IPA is typically
8 to 9-ish.
Yeah. Okay.
But I mean, who knows, right? On the West Coast, like a 9%. It's just an IPA sometimes here.
Oh, totally, right?
That's true. Yeah.
But usually they're up there.
Just to remind everybody, this is a design podcast. I love it. It's like we're starting our side project, the new beer podcast.
The passion comes out with just alcohol. Yeah, that's...
But we thought it would be a great way to be a little festive, and we could not do a year without this thing, so... as crazy as things have been, nothing's going to kill the holiday gift guide DGDC episode. So that's why we're here and excited to share a little bit about what we got. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to be really good.
I'm looking
forward
to
this. Who wants to go first? Mikkel, do you want to start things off with one of yours?
Sure. And we should share that this, with all due respect and having some sensitivity to the happenings of the year that's gone by, to be fair, a lot of us, of course, nowadays are working from home, whether we like it or not. We are used to that, but for several, they are not. So I think amongst the three of us, a lot of these gifts are attributable to that shift that has come about this year that may become the standard. And so take it with a grain of salt, knowing that. I guess I wanted to bring up ahead of time.
Yep.
So my first one is a carbonator, and it is by ARC. I think that's how you pronounce it. Do you guys
ARC?
Know? Oh, like, the CO2 sort of, not a soda stream, but a different. This one's a nice looking one.
These look so premium and ridiculous. Yeah. So when we lived in Utah, we had a Samsung fridge that was so spoiled that had a dispenser for carbonated water installed in it. So
that's amazing.
Beer drinking was less common for me there, and we would just prepare our cocktails with, you know, fizzy mixes of these carbonated waters.
Totally.
Because it was free and right there in front of us, and we just got clever with what we would add as a little you know, bitters or a sweet splash of something alongside the lemon squeeze or the orange squeeze. And that set the bar so much so that it's hard to go back to a fridge without. So I love the idea of having one of these. And how sexy do these look on your countertop?
Yeah, so like we have a just like a SodaStream one, like the the
and those
common
are so
one,
common, right? And those are wonderful.
But like they don't look nice. Like this is something I would like put out and keep out, right? Like it's very pretty.
Yes,
it like looks. I don't know. It looks great. This one
it
like
doesn't
copper.
Take any these any so additional beautiful. Plumbing, does it?
I don't think so. I think most of them are all just cartridges, like CO2 that you kind of screw into the back.
I mean, this photography is beautiful too. These come in such a beautiful range of colors, and their price point is in the hundreds. It ranges anywhere from $2 to $250, but these look lifelong, like lifelong trinkets. And
well,
you know,
they're not plastic,
I think that
like metal.
And they look heavy, don't they? I think that probably with these, and this goes along with the working from home theme, just so you don't think I'm too far-fetched here, because you have to stay hydrated.
I agree.
You oftentimes, don't you forget?
Yes. I've been wanting
like,
to
oh,
get,
I need to get up and get my water. This is ridiculous. You get so wrapped up in the back-to-back meetings and, oh, I got to send these emails in between these meetings. You have to get up, stretch your legs, go grab some water. Who gets tired of just the tap water stuff? Mm-hmm. So this is great.
Well, and have you seen... this is just a little off track, but I do want to get like they have those thermoses that are like, here's all the water you need in a day. Oh. If you finish this thermos, like you win. Like it's like measured, like it's a giant thermos with like it's 48 ounces or whatever the amount is. But like stuff like that, I'm all about, right? Like anything that's going to encourage you to drink more water. And
me too.
Something like, you know, seltzer, carbonated is much more fun.
It is. I'm all for that, too. Yeah. So these colors are fabulous. Listen to this range. There's just the stainless steel. There's one in white. There's matte black. There's a brass that really is kind of a mustard yellow finish that's just beautiful.
Yeah, it looks like a trombone. I'm into it.
It is. It is like that. And then there's a copper that looks like a rose gold. In fact, it's very rich.
Yep.
And then one that's a black chrome. So the selection's really top-notch. And we'll... Yeah. Include these
links. Yeah.
Links for everything. Yeah. You know, I use my SodaStream a lot for coffee, like with a little cold brew. It's so good. Yeah.
You just put cold brew in there and charge it?
Yeah, so like a concentrated cold brew.
How did you learn to do that? What made you think to do that?
Oh, I think the internet taught me, I assume. I can't remember. Instagram, maybe. But,
Skillshare.
Well, because like I drink a lot of espresso. God, this is going to sound like such a douche. But like I really like if I go to espresso or like a coffee shop and get espresso, I always ask for like a seltzer back.
Oh, yes. Because
it's so nice. Like sometimes you drink the espresso and just like leaves your mouth like kind of bitter after a while. And like then it's like it's a little
They serve
unpleasant.
It like that in Italy.
Oh, that is
yeah,
so
exactly.
interesting. I want to try this. So how much? Oh, what is the ratio?
So like if you do a shot of espresso, if I mix it, like the concentrate is about, I'd say a shot makes like a cup of coffee, kind of like an Americano. Mm-hmm. We add, you know, 8 ounces to one shot of coffee or espresso. So it's about that, maybe a little less. I like mine stronger.
I need to try this.
Yeah. But even if you have a shot of espresso, just have some, seltzer water with it. It's actually really nice.
I remember the first time I ordered an espresso, they gave me the little glass of the seltzer water. I was like,
exactly.
What is that? And they're like, trust me. I was like, wow.
And it's great. It's like, it makes the experience even better. So,
but here's my thought. Like, do you put the cold brew in the thing and then charge that up with the bubbles?
I don't actually, you know, I know some people put flavoring in that. I do it in something separate just because like, I don't know, like they're harder to wash and I just usually don't mix in that.
I gotcha.
Okay. Okay.
But I'm down for one of these for sure. I think the same way because I'm buying a lot of the canned like LaCroix style stuff just to stay away from sugar and from sodas and caffeines and all that. But I'm sitting here going like this would be I've never had one of those soda streams or whatever.
Yeah.
But boy, this is a cool little it's going on the wish list is all I can say.
Yeah.
So great stuff. Oh, I mean, I would just want this on my counter in the kitchen to begin with because it looks hot.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, I love my SodaStream, but it doesn't look great. It's like a hunk of plastic.
Yeah, these are like really beautiful.
Actually made of metal.
It's very cool.
Yeah, it's nice.
Excellent. All right. Jordan, you want to take it?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll take the first one or the second one. My first one is a standing mat. By Ergo Driven. It's the Ergo Driven Topo Comfort Mat. And, you know, I assume everyone's kind of working from home and trying to figure it out. And like many people, like I was going through standing mats, trying to figure out, like, I got my standing desk and but like after a while, just kind of like, I don't know, the angles don't feel great. It wasn't like an all day thing.
And
like other mats, like they're fine. Like the cushion flat ones, like they're okay for a little while, but it still found like it wasn't perfect. And so I did a ton of research, and a lot of places pointed me towards this one in particular. And what makes it kind of different is like, it's a very weird shaped mat. And if you look at it, it's like, it's almost like a square. It's big. It's definitely huge, but like, it's not flat at all. There's like lots of ridges. There's a bump in the middle. The back kind of slopes down. So if like you want to, there's like steps in it. There's lots of contours and edges. But why that's great is because, you know, doing some research, you know, humans aren't meant to stand on flat ground. You start to think about where, you know, how things we evolved. And it's always like the outdoors is not even, it's not flat. And so, and then like, I noticed like if I'm standing on flat ground for too long, like you start to pop your hips or you just like put pressure on like one ankle or the other, where this it's like, I can kick a, you know, a foot up on the top arc if I want to, or, you know, I can stand on the back and kind of slope my feet or like drape them over the side to like roll them. Or they have this like ball in the middle that lets you like roll the arc of your foot. So I can stand on this thing, honestly, like 8 hours all day, no problem. It's That's super so comfy. Cool. It's super padded, but all like the different wedges and stuff, it's like, it feels better to not stand flat. It feels better, like, spread your legs out and, like, you know, hang them over the side for a little bit, or, like, point them downwards at an angle or switch it up, you know?
Yeah. I had no idea this thing even existed until you showed it to me. I was like,
it's a game changer.
Yeah. Whoever thought of it knew exactly what they were doing with it, right?
Yeah. Well, they pointed me down to, like, how we evolved, you know what I mean? Like, how the species, like, evolved to stand.
That's amazing.
Like,
that makes sense. Good website should communicate, you know?
And that's the thing. And, like, anything that's going to make you excited to, like, better, like, I'm more excited to stand up now, right? Like,
good.
It's just more fun. And, like, I just, you know.
Does it have that thing for your arches?
Yeah, exactly. So, like, in the middle, there's that huge ball, and that feels really good on your foot because you, like, arch your foot over. But like, I like to stand on the sides, which are kind of, like, corners, and put a foot on both and just, like, kind of massage the arc.
That's great.
It's awesome. It's honestly, like, if you got the standing desk, having a good mat is, I think, just as important.
And yeah, this one, it's a whole category now when you scroll down. I mean, there's so many other versions and weird things. It's like, it's such a neat idea. And I think it comes out of the whole idea that the standing desk is the first phase, but you got to do something to move and still be kind of like, and still kind of sway a little bit. So you're not just standing in one position the whole time. It keeps it lively.
Exactly. Yeah. And so like this kind of stuff is just promotes that even more. It's definitely like the flat mat doesn't really work like it at all. It's good for the knees, right? Because it's hard ground. But ultimately, you're just not supposed to stand in one place for that long.
Yeah.
I would recommend this wholeheartedly. Like I have one right sitting next to me when I stand.
Let's see. And the price point of this guy.
They range. They're like, they have two different sizes. They have like a big one for like $100. The medium one, which is still very big enough to stand on by any measure, it's like $70 or something.
Yeah, $69. Not bad.
Like thick and padded. It feels real good. Yeah.
I love that it's inspired a whole, and then there's all these like copycats after it. You're like, it's so funny. What a weird, who would have ever thought of this? But I think there's also the idea of anything else to, you know, if you've invested in the standing desk, to anything that's going to help you remember to do it. Like you said, it's actually fun to do it. Mm-hmm. Like to me, I don't do it enough. I try to do the one day on.
Yeah.
But love
it. Yeah, I was kind of doing that too.
Do you stick with that? I mean, is that the intent, or can you say that you stick with that? Because I'm terrible. I know that I have this in common with so many others. Mm-hmm. I say to myself, every meeting stand, cranking, sit. Every meeting stand. And all it is a fucking push of a button to the side.
I know.
I have no excuse.
It is a different frame of mind. You know, like it's a lot to commit to. I try to do it on the days that are very busy and very work, very computer.
So you're not thinking about it. You're
just like, because it's like, I remember when I first got it, I was like, whoa, if I can get through a day where it's real work, like a lot of lifting and I'm standing, like, because I'm still set in that zone that you have to sit if you're doing some serious thinking. And it's not. It's all in your mind.
I know.
And it's made a huge difference ever since having.
Oh, good for you, Nick.
Ever since having
You're like, my encouragement. I need
my
to
back
start.
Procedure that I had years ago that fixed my back. I don't want to ever go back to
having. Wait, what is that?
I had PRP, which is basically like stem cell, where it basically they take. This is weird, but they take your blood, draw it out, and it's synthesized, and they basically use only the plasma that comes out of your blood, and it was put back into all the discs where I have injuries. And over 6 months, you wait, and the results are almost remarkable because it actually can – it's not a cover-up. It actually can fix and help rebuild tissue, and that's what I did not have. So it was one of those things, and I'm like, I will never go back. Like, I have back stuff that I've never haven't used since then.
Lesson learned type of thing.
So standing is the best. And then I read this great book that was all about standing and how, you know, we were never meant to sit as humans in the first place, right?
No, it's true.
Chairs are wrong. So trying to balance it has been the biggest goal and trying to do it.
You know? One, and all those little tools, like standing desk, check one, good mat, check two. Yeah. And then like... Yep. You know, getting the mindset out. Like, I bought a whiteboard just because, like, it makes me force. Like, I got to stand up and change it all the time.
Beautiful.
Like, I try not to do things digitally because then I have to walk, you know, a foot to my whiteboard, right? Yeah. And then I'm on my feet. I don't sit down. And, you know, like, all these, like, little things you can do to trick yourself into, like, not thinking about
so
it.
So true,
then, like,
man.
Oh, the day's done.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah. As we all are sitting currently.
I know. But I've been doing it with streams and times when I have to be on a meeting with Zoom. And I find I'm more... active because you're moving a little bit more and I don't know, try that if you've been reluctant to do the standing, do it when you're actually in a meeting.
Yep.
And you'll find it's really nice. I do like that a lot.
Yeah. All right, Nick. All right. Let's get your
my
first
one. So we'll stick on that's this ergonomic cool there stuff here. And I got it with me as well, but it's the Logitech MX Master 3 mouse, and it's made specifically for your computer. So you get a Mac version or you get a PC version. And what's so incredible about this thing is ergonomically, it is just, it looks like a freaking sports car. It's just coolest thing. And it's fully customizable, but the best thing is the feel for sure. I loved using the Magic Mouse back in the day, but the profile of it was just too shallow and too low that I, you know, you want to have something that cups your hand to continue that angle that you're at. And this thing in a way forces you to, but in a very comfortable and very natural way. And I've noticed I'm actually, like you were saying, where you look forward to standing with that pad. I look forward to real busy days because this thing is just so incredible. It's amazingly programmable as well. There's two or three versions of it. They make one that's even the Anywhere one, which is much more portable. And if you need to throw it in a bag and take it with you. But I love this thing. I mean, it has been a game changer. Our buddy Ryan was the one who recommended it back in the day. And the best thing is this flywheel. It's got it on the click, you know, when you turn it. But if you give it a fast spin, it actually has a weight in it and it will zoom to the bottom of a page or to the bottom of whatever you're doing in like a half a second. So it's remarkably one of the most advanced mouses I've ever tried. And I'm sitting here going like, who thought, you know? But when my old one finally was giving me some issues and I've had it for years, my first thought was like, well, invest in a really good one. Don't skimp. Don't get a $20 one or whatever.
Yeah.
This is... You know, you think of the things that you touch every day that are part of our world,
makes
right?
It legitimizes the cost.
Exactly. Yeah. And the top one is only $100, $99.
That's not bad.
They have one at 60.
You did tell me about this because I had carpal tunnel and I was almost in tears. And I'm texting Nick going, I'm still using the freaking Magic Mouse from Apple. And it's slick and cool looking, but super dumb.
And yeah, I mean, it's I'm yeah.
damaging.
It's just not good. Mm-mm. It's flat. Yeah.
Mm-mm. So this has made absolutely a difference. And I do have Logitech, but it doesn't seem as high as this, Nick. And I'm having regrets, although I haven't had symptoms come back, thankfully.
That's all that matters, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, truly, because like you got to have that arc. It's the same like with your foot, you know, and if you're using it on a repetitive basis, you got to have that support in there somewhere. And this thing just naturally puts you in the right thing. There's no weird like, oh God, this is going to take some getting used to. It's actually more preferred from the very first moment with it, you know, because of the slope down that it has. I'm really impressed with it. But I just love those little things that there are things to invest, a little bit more in. And I think of those five or six things that you do every day that probably, it's like your coffee maker,
your
mouse, you know, it's those little things, right?
Well, and it changes the workflow. If it makes the workflow better, then it's always valuable, right? And like what I like about this and where I think like, again, I use the Magic Mouse. I've always liked it just because like I can scroll up and down and left and right quickly. Mm-hmm. I haven't found a mouse, but this one has that like thumb scroll, right? And I assume that goes left and right.
Yeah.
Instead of north,
so you've
south.
You've got that little guy right there.
But then
that's
like
where your
the
thumb
buttons
is.
That I assume you can just customize and program for anything, right?
It comes, like, it has an app.
Brush. Yeah. Dude,
that's Hold that up again, Nick.
Yeah. It has an app. Like that's the craziest thing. Like, see, like, so there's a hidden button right there. That's a touch button. Mm. Then you have two here. You have this that scrolls laterally.
Yes.
And then you have all those on the front as well.
And this is the height of mine.
There you go.
Oh, that's so funny. They look similar.
Do they look similar? I mean, it's Logitech, so the brand is the brand. But see how, Jordan, mine's not as high.
I think yours is. It's just...
I think it... They look the same.
Oh, wait.
Yeah. I think you guys might have the same.
Oh, the listeners are like... I can't see.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, guys. Just go to Logitech and take a look at it.
It's good, yeah. But the sort of macro button programming, and one of my gifts is with that in mind, like, I want to get more into that. Like, how can I speed up my workflow? How can, like,
I have paste to front. Like, I have, like, paste to back as one of them. Like, you can,
imagine an expand button, right? Like, I want to expand the shape or the stroke. Like,
yes.
Boom. Yeah, I like it. Oh. I like it.
And it works directly. Like, you can make customizable things on Illustrator for it. So it's not just system preferences you can put on there. It's actual application stuff. So they took that mouse to the next level. I laughed when
Jordan,
I loaded it up.
Jordan, you should. I think for me, I can report it's been life-changing because I've had this for several months now since my carpal tunnel
diagnosis.
And I would speak to it. Are you using the
I'm using just a Magic. No, I have two because it's such a bad design that I had to buy another one because when it dies, you can't use and charge it.
Oh,
like,
I know.
It's the infamous, like, worst design.
It's so Apple. But I know, so they're incredible, but they're the demon at the same time.
I know.
I used to love it when I can throw it in my bag if I was taking a trip over. It's so sleek. It fits right in like the little wallet pocket of your bag. And it's, let's face it, it's very responsive and everything good. But it's just, it's like, does anybody have Apple TV? That remote just drives me absolutely crazy. It's the most delicate little thing. And you're like, so I had to buy this like big, fat, chunky rubber cover for it. Because you're like, one, you lose it all the time. But Apple's got to learn. Like, it's like, guys, make it a little more ergonomic.
It's the classic design lesson of like beauty over practical function.
Yeah. Well, they're all maybe that was Johnny Ives. You know, we'll see a change, you know. I think he was a stickler for a lot of that stuff and got his way. So,
you guys, we're on such a good path right now. Can we talk about the Ergo stool? Because it's
go
so
for
connected.
It. Let's do
ooh,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This Love is, it. I'm excited because
this is my favorite.
I kind of want to get one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jordan, I'm willing to buy you one because they're $100.
That's not bad. Like, I've been kind of eyeing them, and like, I know there's a few different ones, right? Like, there's like the ones that just get into it. Let's introduce the one.
There are. So I have, do they call it the wobbly?
Okay.
So they advertise this so beautifully because they call it active sitting, and it is. I am not sitting still.
That's awesome.
I'm shifting my tailbone around. I'm shifting my my hip bones, my pelvic bones. It's fabulous. So. And also, this link is so great because they showcase this video that's so beautiful. So this desk is ridiculous amongst workers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
But this is beautiful. This is a beautiful stool, and it is adjustable, and the base of it does not sit flat, so it allows you to move around. I never have my bum or my stool sitting 90 at a 90 degree angle. It's never straight up and down.
It's always at an angle.
Always tilted. So therefore, my pelvic bone is tilted the proper way and my spine is in alignment. So oftentimes these chairs, there are some beautiful, really silly, expensive chairs out there that are quote unquote called ergonomic chairs. Yeah. And you still slouch in them. They accommodate that posture that's not healthy for us. So that's what got us thinking, because we were looking at these chairs for me when, so I was, okay, let's back up a little bit. Everybody's going to know way too much about me. This is personal, but whatever. So I have been experiencing numbing and pins and needles and tingling in my arms, my legs, my feet. And we were worried about a stroke and I was waking up without feeling in my limbs. Wow. It was scary.
Yeah.
Well, I started seeing a chiropractor and buying all this ergonomic shit because I'm like, something's going on here. And I don't want to just take drugs for these symptoms. So I have been seeing a chiropractor for ever since, and I've gotten my feeling back and I'm not having those episodes anymore. And it's become a lot less scary, but that paired with these ergonomic adjustments has truly made a difference in my life. I really can pledge for the difference in this. If you are a freelancer, if you're not, and you primarily work from
home.
You have to invest your money into these. What's $99 for the rest of your life?
Put that in your next invoice as some expense. Like just raise your rates one time, $100.
Always equate it to, like, we just bought a sectional couch upstairs for a couch that was broken that we've had for way too long. And I think, okay, how many billable hours is that for me? Okay, we can make that purchase work. Yeah. I always do that in my head substantiate the cost of something. It is worth it for these ergonomic products, you guys. So
I would have thought this was at least $400.
There are those out there that are ergo stools. There are. And like Jordan was describing earlier, we spent way too much time on the internet and you get into this rabbit hole, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where you're like, oh my gosh, how much time have we been researching this online on a Saturday? I know. So now you don't have to take the time. Now you're hearing from us straight up about the shit that works.
Yeah.
And this truly does. It's wonderful.
Now, can you sit on this thing like perfectly upright, or it's always at an angle?
You can do both.
You can.
But
okay.
For me personally, I'm always at an angle so that my spine is in alignment.
Yes.
And I don't have the tendency to do this.
Well, perfect.
A lot of these are meant to, like, you're not supposed to ever be in one position for a long time. So like that's kind of like same with the standing mat, same with, I assume, the stool. It's like, well, you want to shift. And if you're moving the whole time, like, that's so much better than just not moving at all.
Especially if
you're shifting every 15 minutes, or like you're swaying, like all those things promote like blood flow and just keeps it better. Right.
I love it. I can't get over the price, to be honest with you, because there's something about this whole zone of anything chair or whatever that you automatically go, well, that's going to be $450, right?
Yeah. When you look at like, I mean, especially when you get into like actual desk chairs, right? These ergonomics.
Oh,
like,
God.
Like, you know, $800.
Totally.
Sometimes.
Some of them, I mean, I'm really reputable brands, mind you. I mean, gorgeous brands.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. One sometimes just could, like, look, I mean, the Herman Millers are like the iconic, like, this is what every fucking creative needs.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
are the studio agency chair. And like, I've sat in them plenty of times, contracting agencies and stuff. And like, they're fine. Like, I would never spend $1,500 for it. That seems insane. They're not that comfy. Like,
You can't find them on Craigslist very cheap.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, it just, I think something like this is probably much better for you. And it's $100, like it's not even within the same bracket, you know, and it keeps you up and moving. Whereas like, I don't know if you want to invest in a chair that just keeps you comfortable for 8 hours.
No, it shouldn't. It shouldn't. Active sitting is just such a gorgeous tagline, honestly.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I have a buddy who bought one of those like bicycle under the desks. I'm curious how it goes. He just got it.
I want to know.
Under his desk pedaling. It's kind of cool. I'm into
that. Well, I don't think there's anything else that is like a convertible or a adjustable chair of any kind that works with you either sitting or standing the way this does. Because when you have your desk down, you could still use this. And then when you have your desk up, you can use this as almost like that pivot.
Well, and it's good to have it like, I was looking in stools because I wanted something where I wouldn't have to lower my desk, which means I'll just stand more often. So when I want to sit, I can sit down on a tall stool for like 10, 15 minutes, right? Give the feet a break. And then just boom, it's easier. Like I don't have to fucking like, okay, now I've got to wait 13 seconds for my desk to rise and then find the place I like it where I can just leave it up. And then I just got a tall stool that I can hop on when I need to.
This is great. I'm totally going to order one of these and check it out. I have a great tip for anybody who's afraid of the standing desk because of the cost. You can get on Amazon just the guts, the desk, the legs with the motor, and get your own tabletop. Because I saved probably $300 on this thing by using a ButcherBox tabletop from IKEA that was $49.
Yep.
And then my legs and motor and everything else I got on Amazon for $229. So like, I mean, I made a desk that I probably would have paid $700 for like under $400.
Yeah. And honestly, you can get some cheaper than that if like you are on the budget, right? And I get that that's a big investment, but I will say like it is worth it. Having a standing desk, like you get used to it. And then I prefer like I used to, like you, Nick, I wanted to sit because I needed to think and I need to like, this is my time to focus and really dig in. But I do much better if I'm walking around thinking and like, you know, tossing a tennis ball at the wall or like whatever it is, just moving.
Force yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And it took me, I don't know, a couple of weeks to get out of that place. But like if I'm developing a brand, it's always just writing down ideas and talking to it to myself. I do it way better now just walking around my
room. That's a great way to look at it. I think it's a change of, a total different brain flow.
Yeah.
All the time. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey guys, before we get back to our holiday gift guide, we've got one other great holiday gift suggestion. Why not try Skillshare? This is the holiday season. It is a perfect time to probably learn something new. I know a lot of us might have a little bit of downtime in the weeks ahead. So what a perfect companion, Skillshare online class. We have a fantastic offer with them. You know, we have been a Skillshare sponsor for many, many years. They're an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for people like us, curious creatives that want to explore tons of new skills, maybe deepen an existing passion, or just get lost in all of their great online content. One of the ones we wanted to highlight this week was Logotype Masterclass with Jessica Hish. She has a fantastic course all about hand lettering. And in this course, she's going to take your logo from good to great in an in-depth masterclass as far as hand lettering and hand typography. Some of the stuff that she covers in her class is the magic of the logotype, a checklist for that big picture before you send it off to the client, evaluating a logotype, how to actually know where and when to correct it. She sketches out new logos, shows you how she vectorizes them, and then makes those small little adjustable scale changes that make all the difference in the long run. I know every designer I talk to wants to get into hand lettering. This is a perfect opportunity to learn from the pros and figure out how you can incorporate it into your business. Skillshare is that fantastic online community. They offer memberships with meaning, with so much to explore, tons of great projects to create, and the support of all these fellow creatives. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. So give a gift that's one of a kind, completely personalized, or perfectly imperfect. I think it's a great idea to give yourself a gift like Skillshare, or for that perfect colleague or fellow creative that you have in mind. When you put in time, effort, and creativity into a gift, it shows just how much you care. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes or a workshop. An annual subscription is just about $10 a month. So what are you waiting for? Now's your chance to explore all the creativity that Skillshare has to offer. Go to skillshare.com/deepend2 and get a free trial of their premium membership. That's right, free trial of their premium membership. Just go to skillshare.com/deepend2. Now back to our holiday gift guide. All right, Jordan, what do you got up next?
Oh, my second one.
Just throw my money all tonight.
Okay, just for some precursor thought, all before we started this episode, we said, oh, just a couple minutes per item. No, it never goes that way. No. Never goes.
Oh, a few of mine will be like 2 minutes. These are the meat. This is the meat.
This is the stuff like, I've purchased or I've done enough research and I know that this is what I
like your next one a lot because these make all the difference in the world.
Oh my God. So Look, I assume we have a particular demographic of creatives, and I assume being creative, you probably like coffee and you probably enjoy, mm-hmm. I don't know, good coffee. And
I don't see where are you getting that connection?
Yeah, exactly. And you know, I'll drink any coffee. It's kind of like beer. Like, there's a moment and a place. But I do really appreciate, like, a good cup of coffee.
Yes.
And working from home more and more, it's like, you know, you kind of have this sort of your meditative morning routine where it's like I get up and I brew a cup of coffee, and that starts with the grinder. And then, you know, I wanted to get a good grinder, and I've gone through a couple. I used to have those one tabletops that you push the top, yep. like chops it up like your spice grinder. And they're fine, right? Like, they're okay. They're cheap. They're fine. But like, I was doing a ton of research, and I found this model, and it's called the Baratza Encore Burr Coffee Grinder. And it's fucking amazing.
It's next level.
Yeah, one, it took me like, I was like, okay, well, why are Burr coffee grinders better than like your hack and slash blade yes. ones? And ultimately, like, the biggest advantage of a Burr grinder is it grinds your coffee beans to a uniform size. The problem with the blade ones is they chop it in a million different sizes. And so when you mm-hmm. brew it, it's like, well, some pieces are like, it just doesn't brew well because it's not uniform. All the particles are different shapes, and it would just take different times to brew those different shapes. Long story short, and without getting like into the weeds of coffee, you know, snobbery,
we can get there.
It can get there, but at the same time, it's like, well, it's part of my mental routine. Like, it's my I make my cup of coffee. It takes me like, you know, 3.5 minutes, and it's like a time for me to like sit with my thoughts in the morning. Like, I like that, and the coffee grinder just became part of that routine. And this one just makes exceptional coffee. If you're into coffee, everything comes down to the grinder. I think that's probably the most important part. I think it's more important than your beans, than your roast, than your brewing method, because this is going to dictate exactly how you can brew your cup of coffee. And this one in particular, it's like you can set it different ways. If I want a French mm-hmm. press, if I want a Chemex pour over, if I want, you know, an AeroPress, espresso, like, you can grind it all out in this. It's a fucking awesome machine. And I know it's just a coffee grinder.
Jordan is my brother from another mother.
It changed the way I
keep talking, drink keep coffee, talking. Man.
It did. And I didn't realize the drastic difference. And like, I had friends over and we did like, you know, coffee comparisons and stuff. And we got to dig into a little bit. But even prior to that, I was like testing the different ways grinds taste and like trying to find my perfect settings. And it does make a difference. I think if I'm drinking yeah. coffee every day, you start to appreciate what a good cup of coffee tastes like. So,
oh, and there's something about the method of doing the grinding yourself too with the beans you buy. Yeah. It's really, really something. Yeah.
Well, you don't want to get pre-ground coffee. Like, that's obvious, right? And so like, and then, you know, we all live in the West Coast. Like, everyone has a coffee roaster somewhere near.
Yeah.
So, like, get your beans fresh.
For sure.
If you grind them right before you brew it, like, immediately difference. Like, it's so mm-hmm. much better. And yes, I will say, like, for a grinder, these can kind of get pricey. Like, I think for a new one, they might be, I don't know, like $200 or something crazy. Mm. But I found them, and you can definitely find them, like refurbed or like on eBay, something like secondhand used, and they're way cheaper. I got mine for like $70, and I've had it for a year, and it's fucking great. There's nothing wrong with it. It works perfectly.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'd say if you can find one refurbed, they have them on their website usually refurbished. I would definitely, if you enjoy coffee, this thing made the biggest difference, more than anything else.
That's so good, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to brew a whole pot right now.
Me too. Yeah, dude. I decaf most nights.
Isn't that great? Do you do decaf as well?
It messes with my mentally. I think, oh, I'm effed. Mm. I'm not going to sleep proper. But I love the idea of that. I mean,
yeah,
it's so traditional. You know?
It's true. My grandparents always used to do it. And so I kind of like have this weird romanticism of like,
oh, yeah,
let's have an evening cup of
coffee.
It's
the way that I see smoking a pipe. My dad used to smoke a pipe when I was a little girl. And that cherry wood smoke was
it
just
smells
gorgeous
so
to me.
Oh, my God.
It's so, so great to me. And it was such a grown-up type of smell where the cheese and crackers were out. And they were having
isn't it funny? Smell and scent, I think, is the most nostalgic thing you have in your
senses. It triggers
senses,
your memory, I think, stronger than any other sense.
Like,
right?
I brought this up to my brother the other day. I was like, our parents, after dinner, and I'm talking around 6:37, would brew a whole pot, and then it would sit on like a what's the thing that you put something on?
Stove.
No, they bring the glass carafe into the family room, a trivet. And they had it on a trivet, and that trivet over time had the condensation because of the heat. Mm-hmm. I remember this was before even being a coffee drinker. I'm like, what is wrong with you? That's like the worst smell. Why are you having it? You already went through two pots in the morning. And I'm like, and then of course, once you enter the world of coffee, you totally get that. There's something just so comforting about it.
That's again the beauty of a good grinder. It's like it's such a nice smell, like fresh ground coffee.
Yeah, and
like,
look, I love that.
I have a fucking Nespresso machine and I'll pump a capsule out fine. Like, I get it. There's a time and place, but
yeah,
you know, coffee's coffee. And,
I hear
but
you.
A good cup of coffee is a good cup of coffee.
Doesn't that great?
When it's just again, it's that idea of like working from home, building routines is really important, right?
Yeah.
Like you gotta get up, you gotta get dressed, you gotta like. You know, get into this mental state of like, I got to work.
Totally agree.
And this can really help you just appreciate how routines work.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
I hate to say it, but McDonald's coffee is the thing that hooked me because it was my very first job. And
what year was this, Nick?
I don't even remember, but I was like, still in high school, I think. I opened up, I worked a morning shift for the first time. They're like, make some coffee. I'm like, what does that mean? How does that work? And I opened the bag of the grounds, and I'll never forget the smell. And I was like, oh my God, this is wonderful. Mm-hmm. I was like, now I am like, Mom and Dad, I understand. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I remember first few years of college having like a 7 o'clock class. And I'm like, I guess, you know, I'm going to have some of the coffee that Mom and Dad made in the morning. And I think from that point on, I remember when Starbucks started and you're just going like, someone took it to a whole other, you know, I don't think they're in that zone right now, but you know, they took it to a whole other level. And then obviously all the mom and pop ones that opened up over the years, and traveling, I think to me is one of the funnest things is to experience a new coffee place that isn't in your bubble. That to me is really exciting.
Yeah. I mean, it's like beer. It's like, it's just been around for so long. It's just, it's rooted in so many different cultures and societies that it is fun to travel and like experience coffee in other places.
Exactly.
Kind of says something about the people.
Exactly.
Place. For sure.
All right. So I'm going into the gadget world now. I got something a little fun, and it's dirt cheap, and it's such a fun little thing. And I had seen a few people post some videos on this thing, but it's called SwitchBot. And SwitchBot is an interesting way to turn I didn't know they call this, but like there's smart home products and there's dumb home products. And dumb home products are not part of the smart home, you know, thing. Like they're not Wi-Fi enabled. They have no automation or anything like that. What this thing is just this little tiny plastic square, and it has a kind of a little remote robot arm that will literally press the button of anything you put it on. Talk about an old coffee maker or a humidifier a light switch, and you can apply it to anything. And this little toggle thing will turn the switch on and off. And it's just this tiny little thing. I think it retails for $29. Here's the cool thing. This company, SwitchBot, has a bunch of other cool things and stuff too. But a buddy of mine who works with them has a $10 off code. We'll put it in the show notes if you want to try it. This thing's $19 if you want to try it. But it's one of those fun things to just turn anything in your house that's not smart into it. Yeah. And then Alexa works with it. Oh God, she's going to go off. Siri works with it, all that kind of stuff. And what a fun way to, and it's just this little box with that little arm that pops out and just, so imagine putting it on and it has an adhesive back. So you could put it like on your coffee maker and just,
that's cool.
Turn like it on.
You don't have a smart coffee maker. Boom. Now you do.
I mean, cool. Who wants to spend $400 on one when your $19 one will work?
Yeah.
So does like the little arm just like come out and push it, or does it like swipe down?
They have a little, they have this on or off, it's designed to fit most things. And they have this little piece that could go on your button. And what it will do is there's a little string, and now if it's an on and off kind of toggle switch, this thing will handle it as well.
I love like this of hybrid of like the future meets the past. Like it's like a weird.
And I'll be totally honest. It looks like something right out of a Saturday Night Live, you know, commercial skit. That's like, is this real? But it's just this little robot arm that can turn anything into a smart object a smart device in your home. Yeah. And knowing that there's a lot of things that I've adapted to this thing over the years, there are those things that are still very analog that something like this can turn it into that, and you don't have to replace something completely overboard.
Totally.
But I know people who have gone to the point of like putting it all over just for the fun of it, and they have all these cool things. They have one that can actually go onto your drapes and run your drapes back and forth, automatic open and close. So like, yeah, they're thinking of these ways to retrofit your home to these ways without having to make the full investment of these $100, you know, kind of substitutes of things. And I just love this idea of like, come on. Hey, I just want to put one on the coffee maker just to see that little arm come out and go, boop.
This is cute. This is really cute.
Very fun. So again, alarm clock, it could turn the snooze off, which is kind of fun. So you could do it by voice. A lot of fun little, I think you could actually get really creative with this thing. So it's kind of fun. So it's called SwitchBot. You can see it at switch-bot.com.
I'm into it.
All right.
Cool. Mikkel. I like it. And I like the price point. We need to have something in that range always. Oh, yeah.
I think we even got one more lower than that.
Yeah.
Oh, did they? Okay. Same. Yeah.
Yeah. Super low.
What's next?
All right. Mikkel? So this next step is called Razer Kaio. And this looks cool. So it's a streaming webcam. And
oh, nice.
Through and through. This is $100 too. Through and through, everybody's been reporting that what they love most about this unit is that it's lit. It's got a little lit ring up. Light. And so there's an app that combines with this Razer that enables that. And I'm into it. I want to make that work.
Yeah. You got to try it. Yeah. I mean,
I want to try it.
How much is this thing?
So it's $100.
That's not bad because like, these cameras are all over the place now. Where,
this ring light, though, that's what turned me on.
Yes. I love that idea. And like, and Joe and I, you and I were talking about this, too, and I talked with a bunch of people that I got set up with a pretty nice one with the Adobe folks. They,
what
everyone,
do you have?
It's a Elgato, I think it's called. And it's a...
Yeah, because if it, if it...
And it's like a light panel on a... You have a... it's kind of like
a... You
have
it on now?
Yes, yeah. And it's all controllable by your phone. So you have,
That's cool.
Can turn it on and off, which is great. But the first thing everyone said was lighting was almost more important than
your
camera.
Yeah, is it dimmable?
Yes, 100%. So like, and you can control the temperature of it as well. So if I take it and go, I can make it more like that.
I love this.
Or more orange. And then I can bring it, you can bring it down
nice.
A little bit too.
It's moody.
See it right there in the reflection?
You just need, you just need a strip pole.
There. Some tassels.
Dude, what people are doing from home is crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're here for
no,
you.
No, but you are right where it's like, you know, and I have a little bit of like a video film background where lighting is way more important than I think anything else. Like start lighting. Put money towards a good light.
Sure. It matters.
Yeah. You can make anyone look good with good lighting. Like it doesn't matter the camera. So yeah, I'm into it. Anything with that's
and
focused
this,
on that.
This looks really good because I tried a few the Amazon routes of some of these ones, and they just were like, they were no names, you know, pretty cheap price.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
if someone's gonna take the time to put together a website like this,
I agree.
And, you know what I mean? And make sure it's the USB kind of connected one as well. You know, all that kind of stuff. And it looks like this comes with the application. The full camera controls. So I think that's the number one thing I noticed if you're buying any web camera and it doesn't come with any way of controlling it through a app that it comes with, you're kind of screwed. Mm. So this one has it, which is looks really, really
good. Okay, that's good to know.
You need to report back and let us know how this one is.
Yeah, I want to invest in this. It's a nice one. It's like a no-brainer for these trinkets, you guys.
If I don't purchase them,
it's because I got distracted.
Yeah.
There's no other reason for it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really bad.
And regardless of, you know, the next few months to few years, I think we're always going to have – we've introduced the fact that now we're doing more from home. And even when we go back to offices and whatever, that just the ability to have this to present well, if you ever have to do something where you're presenting for someone, I think it's good to have these things on hand just to come off a little more. We admired it. And when we saw how Paul's setup was, right, we were like, holy crap. Like all it takes is one or two things to get that amount of quality out of a stream from home. That's great. All right, Jordan, what do you got?
Jordan.
Okay. My next one, funny enough, it's sort of in this same vein of like it was made for streaming, but I wouldn't recommend it for that because I don't stream. But it's called the Elgato Stream Deck. And I think they're super popular. So if like anyone streams, I assume they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But the reason why this is something I don't have, but I spent the last, I don't know, week just like digging in and researching and seeing if it could work for what I'm thinking. And I think it can. Essentially, it's just this sort of this macro controller that you can program this thing. And it's if you aren't familiar, it's like this tiny little 15 button controller that sits on your desk. And so it can either act as like your little secondary controller. And I think it was initially made for like streamers to like switch cameras or like add. I don't know what streamers do.
Yeah.
Whatever they do. But now it's been around long enough where people have gotten into it and they've opened it up. So like I would use it for like setting programming actions for like Illustrator, right? Or Photoshop.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
you can add multiple actions into one button. So like say if I have a design that I'm always like expanding and then making, you know, expanding pathfinding and then making a compound path, like that's a common thing that takes me three steps. I can program all those three things into one button and it's always there. Right. And so like any sort of actions, Photoshop, video editing, like any sort of thing that you can think of, you can program each button to do. Or you can even like, I have certain websites where like I sell fonts and in order to go into like my, you know, commerce, I have to like log in and then I have to go to a special page and, or I don't necessarily have to log in, but I got to go to a certain page and it just takes me like, I don't know, 10 clicks to get where I need to go. I can program a button exactly to where that is. Like all my common sites that I have to visit every day. I just have them on button. So I don't have to go to my browser. I can be in Illustrator, just hit my button and then bring up my online store, you know?
Okay.
You can do anything with it.
It's the Jordan Command Center is what it is.
Yeah. Well, you can just export these presets or these actions or like specific applications that like maybe, you know, you don't have on your desktop, but, and it takes me, you know, I have to go into applications and then in a folder and then a subfolder. And then I click on it, right? And it's like, I don't know, it's 10 seconds. But if I do it every day, multiple times a day, I just have a button for it. Or if it's like a particular file that I constantly open or a reference page, so like a Pinterest folder that I'm currently sharing with my client. Well, I don't want to have to go to Pinterest and like log in and then choose the folder and then go open it up. I can just program one of these buttons that sit on my desktop to do it. It sounds amazing. Like for me, if we're talking about like workflow, it's all those little things I'm constantly doing that take up, you know, minutes of every hour, which you add that up over the week, it's like I'm spending hours on just unnecessary navigation.
Yes.
This thing, it seems like you just don't have to dig through anything. You can just program it completely to whatever you want. It's so embedded within your computer that you can literally, like, the fact that you can set up multiple actions on one button is just amazing.
It kind of neat how it turned into, it wasn't made for that, and yet people have turned it into that.
I think that's what made it so
customizable buttons. Yeah.
Yeah. That exactly. That like, but fully customized. And then if you want, you can like add your own icon. So like if it's a particular weird action, again, like if I'm expanding and then pathfinding and compounding one thing, I just make a special little icon that like, oh, I know what that means. Hmm. You know? It's cool. Hmm. So,
plus, there's a little Dr. Evil in there somewhere. like whoops.
Yeah, right? But like, or you know, I don't know, whatever like those sort of hotkeys that there aren't hotkeys for, and maybe you have like a bunch of custom, but you don't have room to make more. It's like, this seems like a good place to do that.
Nice.
Sort of that macro mentality. So I'm all for it. I'm been geeking out of like, how do I can bring this macro controller into like my workflow to try to speed things up a little more.
Dude, you can make like a whole like YouTube tutorial on what you've done to kind of change it to your
dude. There's a ton of stuff out there. I was like, because it gets like a little heady and overwhelming, but I think easing into it, I do think it can save me. If it can save me a couple hours every week, like it's worth it.
Yeah,
that's cool.
$149, not too bad.
It's not too bad, and they even have a bigger one if you need it. That has like 30 buttons or something.
So crazy.
32. Yeah,
I love it.
It's cool. Yeah. I'll let you know because I think I'm going to pull the trigger on it. So we'll see.
Maybe too. Can you turn it into one of those things with sound effects? So when we're recording, you can add in a little drum roll or a little. Yeah.
Like that's what it was made to do, right? Like your streamer, it's like, here, I'm going to make a sound button or something.
Wah, wah, wah. I love it. All right. The last one I'm going to highlight to me, I don't know about you guys, but when I go to Office Depot or anywhere, I buy pen packs in like maybe 4 packs and 5 packs. And I got to tell you, they're gone in like 5 seconds. I could go search the entire house and can't find a single pen that actually has ink in it or works. It drives me crazy. I'm looking around, and I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty sure we all love Sharpies. I'm like,
oh yeah,
Sharpies to me are just like the coolest. Wait,
I don't use Sharpies.
Fine point Sharpies.
The fine point, yeah, I like the fine point too. I know because you're a fan of one of those ballpoint ones, right, Jordan?
Oh, let me tell you about those. Yeah, we're talking pens, dude. I was thinking about adding to it, but I was like, I think I've mentioned it like 6 times on our podcast throughout the years. Like,
doesn't matter. Yeah.
But I found in Amazon, of all places, there's this Sharpie Ultimate Collection. 115 Sharpies in this box, and it's $84. And I was like, I did the math there. I'm not the best at math. I don't know numbers. But I'm thinking that's less than $1 each, somewhere around there. But to have that amount and then this cool little box that it comes in and everything, and it's got 40 in the fine, 42 in the ultra fine, 5 neon, 8 metallic, 12 twin tip. Didn't even know that existed. Twin tips Sharpies.
What does that even mean?
It's 2-in-1. You can see the little picture there. I guess if you're doing calligraphy, so it's got a thick and a thin, and if you're doing some kind of like artistic thing, it's 2 pens in 1.
Okay.
And then you have 8 big old chisel ones. But I'm sitting here going like, instead of the 7, 8, 10 bucks I spend just stupidly, and then those things go completely gone every time, get this huge ass box of 115 Sharpies. And I just love it. The colors are cool too. I think it gets you back into kind of doing more things analog as well. Yeah. As much as I've been making a transition and playing with the iPad a lot more and doing cool stuff there, there's just something about having good pens and everything else like that. Mm-hmm. So I just was like, whoa, this was I didn't even know it would even existed to have this thing that's really, really cool. So to me, I was thinking like, why not? Like, not a big investment, but I've got all these.
Yeah, getting analog, and that's my process too, where it's like I have my whiteboard and then I'm surrounded by like my Field Note and Moleskins, just not for sketching. Yeah. I've kind of transitioned more so to the iPad for that, but I write down stuff all the time. Any idea from like, you know, exploring brand ideas or like whatever it is, I'm always writing down shit, and then I'll translate that into like a calendar later on if I need to, but I'm always, so like having your good pens, I have my favorite pen and I buy them on Amazon. I buy them like in 50
packs.
Do
you guys write every day?
Like journaling writing or just writing?
No, just picking up a pen at all.
Yeah.
Always. Because I still love the book. I still love writing the notes of my phone calls or anything else.
Yeah, I literally always have my two things here.
Okay, I love you. I'm so paperless. The only reason that I pick up a pen is to fill out a COVID slip for Oakley every morning before school.
Oh my God. Yeah, see, you, but that's a, I think it's all your,
I
what
am
you prefer.
A note app whore. Yeah. Everything is in there. Everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I applaud you.
I think that makes, yeah, exactly. Like,
I can't do that.
I've tried because I want to be that person because it makes, like, God, if I could just have everything.
Why do you say that? I want to have a moleskin that's beautiful and be able to pick up a pen. That's so funny.
I think it's more efficient, maybe. I don't know.
Grass is greener on the other side,
well,
right?
Well, and if ever I lose something, I record where shit's at.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we have the tile, too, because of you, Nick, by the way.
Yeah.
And if I'm not sure where something's at or something about schedule with Valerie and Oakley, I know that in a itch of a second, I can seek it on my phone or from here because everything's synced.
Yeah.
And there's something about that.
Yeah.
But there's a classic nuance to picking up a beautiful pen and having a lovely portfolio system.
Oh, mine ain't good looking at all. It's a
no.
Mess.
Mine's chaos, and I, you know, I live in that world.
I know what you're saying.
When you bought it, was it looking that way? By the time it's used, it should appear that
it
way.
Should.
Like those old leather pieces, like that's the shit that I love.
Well, that's exactly like I have. You know, I'll get a couple every year, and then I do like going through because honestly, most of it is just like I'm taking notes at meetings.
But do you put good money into that? Because it's good quality notebook material. Yeah.
I buy your moleskins. I think they're like, I don't know how much.
Yeah.
I think like $15 for like the large size.
They're not too extravagant. Yeah.
They're not too crazy. And I get the dotted large standard size. And honestly, like I used to be very precious. Like when I first started doing it, I was like, okay, I'm only going to sketch and only have great ideas.
Sure.
And now it's just like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm bored, I'm just going to doodle. And it's chaos.
Yeah.
But I can see like, I feel it maybe 2 or 3 a year. And I like being, because sometimes I do sketch or like, you know, the bones of my ideas for logos. If I have an idea in my head or I see something online, it's always on the right side of me. And I'm always like, all right, here's my pen. I'm going to sketch down something. And it lives
there. That's fabulous.
But then I do like for my notes and stuff, I do take it and I have to translate it into like digital and sometime like calendar ideas or whatever that is. So it's a longer process.
But I have to give you kudos. If that is something that you reach for in the night, just as well as you might reach for your phone.
I have one right by my bedside too, for sure. For that.
That's
same
beautiful.
Reason. Yeah.
That's healthy. My phone is like under my fucking pillow.
Well, look, in this line of work, you don't know when you're going to have an idea or you need to get something down. And so whatever works, like, because I started off digital.
That's very nice of you.
No, but it's true. It's just like whatever works. Yeah. And my phone, my notes app is just as crazy. Like I take notes all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. Notes has been a game changer because I love that I can pull up any Mac universe thing and my notes are up to date. And that's
what
it's got
to
be. I would
be embarrassed to show you guys my notes app.
That's got
to
be tech.
Well, same. You know? Like it's chaos. Like, yeah. And I'm not that organized. I have a lot of shit written down and then I have to filter through it to find out what I need to like actually.
Yeah, sure.
You know what was such cool little side note was the field notes themselves being so small, not hardcover, much more inexpensive to whatever. I had Bob Ewing on with my students a couple weeks ago and he said, He really put it in perspective. He goes, the field notes is so it doesn't feel like a beautiful hard covered thing where a blank page is a little intimidating and you don't even want to start something. Whereas the field notes is so small and so kind of disposable that you will use it more for the notes and the drawings and the sketches. So like
when I use field notes primarily for putting in my pocket if I go somewhere. I just like have my wallet, phone, keys, field notes.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, just because like again, I don't know if like if I see something or I'm inspired, I'm like, man, that's a concept comes or like an idea comes for a logo, like or whatever it is. Like I just want a place where I can write it down and I can't do it on my phone, at least for sketching. Yeah. So field notes are like for my like.
I get
portable,
that. I get that.
I can
that.
Slip it in the back pocket.
I understand. I got the small ones.
Yeah.
So any honorable mentions before we some quickies? What do you guys got? Anything good?
I would say I'm going to give this pen a shout out since we're talking about it. Because look, if you look for a good pen, and for me it's like. It took me years to find the one I liked. And I'm particular. Like, I like a needle tip.
That's
like, I
very
like a
cool.
very small, because I write small.
But do you puncture through the.
You can. Curve. And it took me a couple days to figure out, because, like,
touch.
Honestly, like,
feather touch.
It's a fucking needle. Like, you could give someone, like, when COVID comes, I can just fucking throw it through here. Like, the vaccine could go right through here. No problem.
So like,
which, by the way, is a dilemma they haven't figured out, but in the news today.
But they have different sizes, and I've learned to appreciate what size I like.
That's
and
then, very
that
cool.
I like. I like, you know, I like the liquid gel inks versus the rollers. And but this one in particular, it's a needle tip. It's from Pentel. It's an Energel, and it's a 0.3 millimeter needle tip. And I swear to God, like, it's the best pen. I've used them for fucking 5 years, and I buy them in bulk on Amazon. Like, I don't know, 30 pack is like. Or 50 Perfect. Pack is like, I don't know, $18. They're not that much. But if you don't want like the extreme fine tip, like the needle tip, then the 0.5 millimeters also fantastic.
He's
for,
your man.
For, not for sketching, not for drawing, but for
this
like writing.
Seriously, notes from somebody that knows his pen.
He knows. He
this like, is awesome. This
I remember
is
once
awesome.
I held up the pen. I go, you mean this one? And Jordan's like, that's the .06574. I'm like, oh my God. He got that from a Zoom call.
Well, because like if you find like in hilarious. Randomly, like someone just let me use one to sign something like, I don't know, a few years ago. And I was like, where did you get this?
Yeah.
And I took it. And I was like, I have this is mine now. I'll pay you. I'll do whatever I need. But I need to buy these
I
pens.
Love it.
They're great.
I love it.
They're the best.
Mikkel, any honorable mentions?
My ergo stool is life changing.
That's all you want to talk about.
That's all that I want to talk about.
No additional recommendation. She's going back to the original. I love it. If anything, it becomes a bar stool.
That's not right. A bad idea. That's adjustable. If you've got any small people that come to your house,
it's, yeah.
I love it. Totally adjustable.
Tall, legendary people that come
to
it. One cocktail away from it. It's perfect.
There you go. All right. This is good. I showed this to some people the other day. This is my little honorable mention, and it is a simple little journal. It's made by a company called Reconnect, but this is so cool.
It's like a flat lay? What is that?
You can open it anywhere, and you can literally take out page by page by magnet.
Oh, my gosh.
And you could take 20 pages and take them out, and you can put them back in. The neat thing about it is I think most people like this idea of, like, they don't want to commit to so many pages because then they're like, oh, I'm jumping all over the place, whatever. But to reposition your pages in the journal or the drawing pad or the sketch pad – the way you want it, you literally could just, and it's how they have it is there's like the metal core in the middle there. You can see
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And then so you just all buy like pages, replenished pages.
And yeah. Keep and the like, book? Like, look at this. This is like 100 pages right here. I'm just going to pop it right back in and there it is. Or I could take one out.
Gosh.
Is it easy
awesome.
To flip through?
Oh, does, yeah, exactly. So, like, really? If I put it back here and it's all said and done, it's just paper with probably some, like, I think it's printed. It's a printed strip that has a little particle of some metal in it.
Okay. Okay.
So don't hold it near your head. I don't know.
But my question is, like, can I go to whoever sells this? Actually, we should. Who is this? Who's
Reconnect.
The buyer?
And it's Reconnect, something like that.
Yeah. If I buy a book, right, and I fill up my pages, I can take out the pages and just buy pages only from them, or do I have to buy a whole new book?
Replacement pages, replacement book.
That's a smart business. That's a very good question, Jordan. I was prepared for Nick to say no. Sorry, you can't.
Yeah.
One and done. No. No.
Yeah. No.
Totally.
That is
all refillables and everything. You can see there how it looks on the side right there. But what's interesting was it was someone I used to work with is now the sales rep for this thing, and she sent me the sample, and I was like, okay, I get it. Cool. You can take pages out. But when I started showing other people who really, really use books and these, you know, sketch pads, everyone loved the idea that repositioning, moving things around was a really cool thing. So, what a interesting little, and I'm almost done with this one. So I'll buy a refill. Yeah.
And you probably even know, right? Like just a normal notebook. Like, I can't tell you how many times where I have to write important notes from a meeting or feedback.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, God, a week later, I'm still using those notes, but I'm already like, you know, 10 pages past it. The fact that I could just bring those right back to the forefront
there
of my notebook is pretty sweet.
It's like moving pages around in PDF form, you know?
No,
like,
exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Moving it's a digital and way. And so, man, I think we nailed it, guys. We got ourselves quite a good little gift guide there. I'm shopping tonight. I don't know about you all. Thanks, Mikkel.
Not after this beer. No.
Don't do it.
No.
And the Manhattan. Yeah.
I bought 9 stools. I don't know
and
why.
And the Manhattan. Oh.
Yeah, don't forget. But I think what we should do is, I'm assuming come like January, February, we'll kind of recap anything that we have purchased over all these recommendations and give
that'd be fun.
Full-fledged, because I'm going to get that stool for sure. Awesome, guys. Well, we reached out to a few of our friends, and here are a few recommendations, what's on their gift list. Take a listen.
Hey, this is Matt Dawson. I've been having a lot of fun with this tech wish list idea that we've been kicking around. Tech products are pretty much my kryptonite, because I want almost everything that I see, even though it's probably not always practical. So I thought I'd kind of switch it up a little bit from the norm and suggest an actual practical gift. So a few years ago, I had a noisy fan in my MacBook Pro, and I didn't have the bandwidth to bring it into the Apple Store, and the thought of packing it up and shipping it off into the ether just kind of sent shivers down my spine. So I decided to take it upon myself to fix it myself. But as you know, Apple products have wonky proprietary screws, nuts, and bolts. So I needed a specific toolkit, and I ended up finding one on iFixit.com that was perfect for the project that I was taking on. And they also had a bunch of tutorials to where they tell you how to fix these things. So if you're a tinkerer, this toolkit might be for you. And it's been an invaluable resource in my toolkit. I've used it for projects big and small. I fixed iPhones with it, MacBook Pros. I've taken apart my iMac. As a glasses wearer, it's been oddly helpful in the glasses world as well. And yeah, they actually just upgraded it to the to a bigger one now, where it's almost twice the size of what I have. So of course, I've got to have the latest and greatest, and that's going to be going on my list. I suggest you put it on yours as well.
All right, everybody, Steven Overturf here. My top holiday designer gift would be a custom banner from Oxford Pennant out of Buffalo, New York. I think it would be super, super dope to get a banner from my apartment, my studio, my workspace, whatever the case may be, of a banner that had my name or my studio name, my designer name, whatever I go by. I think it would make the space that much better, make everything a lot cooler. And it's got that extra touch of American-made print, all the things that designers like in one big custom gift. Obviously for me, I'd have my last name, Overturf Design Studio, on there, and maybe a logo. And so having something that really fits my space real well, very like retro, that inspiration every single day, an ideal top holiday gift for a designer.
So my top gift as a designer for the holidays in 2020 would be any of the posters that Timothy Goodman has on his website. If you don't know him, he's really well known for creating murals that incorporate his hand lettering. But most importantly, he's really well known for being raw and really transparent about his emotions and his feelings. And it's really cool because he incorporates that into little writings that he turns into murals and pieces of art. So I know for a fact that if you go on his site and you look at all the posters that he has on there, you're bound to relate to one of them. Specifically in my case, there's this poster called I Told Her, which is a quirky little paragraph he put together about telling a girl what graphic design is and what he plans to do as a designer and what the whole field is about. But yeah, I just find his pieces to be so awesome because they're just so transparent, and the hand lettering he incorporates is just so fun and bubbly, and I think it's just a great addition that people can include into their home offices or in your design studio. They all just look so cool. So yeah, that would be my top gift for holiday season 2020 as a designer.
What is up, guys? My name is Michael Burpo. I'm one of the test pilots, and I'm bringing you what my Christmas wish list, or what I recommend to designers to have for this Christmas season. My number one recommendation for young designers, and really any designer, is to get more into journaling. I think that the number one thing we can all do is to make more. So my recommendation is to start getting yourself out with a new journaling setup. My recommendation is the Sakura Pigma Micron pen and sets, and that ranges from 224 to 3235 on Dickblick. They are a local shop, so don't buy from Amazon. And those I usually use an 05, but you can also use an 03. I like to use something that's thick enough that it has like a resounding look, as opposed to something too thick or too thin where you have to really work at the page. My next recommendation is a Moleskine sketchbook. I know Moleskine's expensive, but when you spend a little bit more money on your notebook, you tend to treat it a little bit better. But also, you just need to get comfortable with working through these and working as much as possible. I use the Micron and the Moleskine setup because those combine and don't bleed through, and I think that it's a really nice combo. And then my last recommendation, this is a little bit of a flyer, but I recommend the Best Test acid-free paper cement, and that is also from Dickblick, and that ranges from $5.96 to $21.62. And that is because rubber cement It doesn't bleed through. It works really well with a moleskin so that you can paste different pieces in there. And I think that it helps you fill up sketchbooks a little bit faster and gives you some more progress instead of getting burnt out after 10 pages. I've been using this for about my last 20 sketchbooks. I think that it is one of the biggest improvements to my design career, and I highly recommend it. You can get yourself set up with a journaling setup, a sketchbook setup for about altogether $35 to $50. So hopefully you get it. Enjoy. Bye.
All right, guys. Well, we did. I think we stuck to our tradition. We got some good stuff.
We did.
I'm going to spend some money this weekend for sure.
This is what happens when you're drinking and introducing a gift guide, by the way.
That's why we cut off Mikkel's internet a while ago. She cannot shop right now. I should say the same for me because that's, I'm getting that school.
Into you a
but at the same time, we can all relate with one another about having a very chill and intimate Thanksgiving. It's probably going to be the likelihood come Christmas. Mm-hmm. Hang in there.
Yes, guys.
This is the deal. This is the deal. Stay safe. Don't stretch the bar. It's not worth it. Even if you have your 87-year-old grandma, don't. Don't stretch it.
Let's
save lives. Save lives.
And we're just, I feel like we're just about to turn the corner. I can't wait for things to get better. We could do some live stuff sooner or later one of these days. It would be so great.
Yeah.
But
it's been excited to get back to that.
It's been a interesting year on so many different levels. But
for sure,
Jordan, we're so happy to have you on board for sure.
Oh,
man.
What a year it's been with you, Jordan.
Great.
And what an interesting year to accompany for the first time, by the way.
Yeah. It's a year of firsts, I think, for everyone.
There you go. Well, thank you guys so much for everything. Love you guys. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this one. We'll be back soon.
Happy holidays.